This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Hey kids, thanks to Deluxe Diner, it's time now for Pick and Tell with storyteller Leslie Dowding.
Welcome to Pick a Tale. This story comes from a country called Turkey. Not like the bird, of course. It's a very, very old story and often told in marketplaces while children are sitting, eating something very nice and delicious. Abu Kasim was a kind man who collected and sold rags, old pieces of cloth that nobody wanted, but some people would come and turn them into something new. He always had a small crust of bread for his daily meal and was very careful. He didn't earn much money. One day he saw a very, very old man sitting just by the gate of the market. The old man looked hungry, so Abu Kasim went up to him and said, "Would you like some of my lunch? It's only bread, but it might help you." Now the old man was so surprised, he smiled. He had a beautiful, kind eyes, and he looked at Abu Kasim and said, "In exchange for your kindness, I'd like to give you a pair of sandals. They will be lighter on your feet, but be careful, they can take you away to other places." Abu Kasim had never seen such beautiful sandals. He put them on and went back to his store. He had such a great day. Everything seemed to sell faster than ever before. And then he went home and put the sandals by his bedside. He slept for the first time very happily, with wonderful dreams of selling more and more at the market. Now the next day, he put on his sandals, went to his market stall where he had his rags laid out. They started to disappear again very quickly, and then he heard an unusual sound. It was the Sultan coming. He was the head of the land. He stopped at the market stall by Abu Kasim and said, "I don't want those rags, but I do want those sandals." "Oh, I couldn't possibly give them to you," he said. "They have only just arrived on my feet by a beautiful, kind old man." But the Sultan was cross. "You cannot say no to me. You must give them to me now." But Abu Kasim said, "No, I cannot give them to you." Just then the Sultan said to his guards, "Take the sandals off him and throw them into the river. If I can't have them, no one will." And so they took the sandals and threw them into the river. Poor Abu Kasim was so sad. What could he do? The Sultan was a powerful man, and he carried on his way. And daylight disappeared and the moon came up. Abu Kasim packed away his market stall and slowly walked home. When he got home, he lay down on his bed and a little tear came to his eye. "Oh, I will miss those sandals so much." And quietly he went to sleep. But in the morning, when he woke up, my word, he couldn't believe his eyes. There was a pair of sandals right by his bed, the very sandals that the old man had given him. How could that be? They must have great power. And so he slipped them on. He went to the market. But this time he was very smart. He laid a big cloth over the table that covered his feet when he sat or even stood behind the stall. People came from nowhere to buy his rags. In fact, By lunchtime, he'd almost, yes, in fact, he had sold everything. He carefully put the money in his pocket and he went to the baker's in the market. "Baker, I would like to buy that large piece of crusty bread." He gave him some coins, and then Abu Qasim walked to the market gates where he saw the old man dozing. "Old man, old man, I'd like you to have some lunch. I've bought you a whole loaf, not just a crust, because your sandals have made me so happy." But a most strangest thing happened, and he told him about the Sultan, and he told him about the magical sandals returning. The old man smiled and nodded. "You were wise not to give them away, for you know, if they go to the wrong person, sometimes something terrible can happen to them. I want you to keep those sandals safe, and all the time you wear them, you will never go without food, and you will always have love and happiness in your heart. That is what they gave me, and I'm glad that I could give them to you." And so Abu Qasim kept the sandals until he was so old, and then he got so tired he couldn't go to the market anymore, and his grandson came to visit him. "Oh, Grandpa, you are getting so old you can't go to the market now. Would you like me to go for you?" Abu Qasim said, "Yes, that will be good, because then you can buy bread for all of us. But if you go, you must always wear these sandals. They will bring you great luck, just like they gave me." And so the grandson inherited the sandals, and he did just as well as Abu Qasim. So sometimes when one person gives someone something and it brings them good luck, it can be passed on. Thank you for listening to Pick a Tale today. Welcome to Pick a Tale. This story is all about a little crab. I'm sure you have been out looking for crabs under rocks during the summer holidays. Once upon a time, there was a little crab who had magic eyes. He could make his eyes pop out of his head and go flying out over the ocean and then fly back and pop back into his head again. He would sit along the seashore and play his sailing game. He would call, little eyes, sail out over the deep blue sea. And little crab's eyes would pop out of his head and sail out over the deep blue sea. Then he would call, little eyes, sail back over the deep blue sea. And his eyes would sail back and pop into his head. He loved it. He loved when his eyes took him down and he saw all the beautiful fish and coral and all the colours under the ocean. It was a great game that he played. Little crab's eyes could look very deeply, and sometimes he would see seahorses and seaweed. Now one day when Crab was playing his game, along came a very large jaguar. "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm playing my sailing game," little crab said. "Let me see. I can show you."
"Oh, that would be wonderful. Can you do it for me, little crab?"
Little crab showed his game. Little eyes, sail out to the sea. And then later, little eyes, sail back to me. And so they would sail over the deep blue sea and then pop back. Now Jaguar said, "Little crab, could you make my eyes do that the same?"
"Oh no, it's far too dangerous," said the crab, "for out in the ocean is an unka lunka. It's a giant fish and it swallows you whole."
Well, Jaguar persisted and made little crab
over and over again, "Please, little crab, please." Jaguar said, "Please."
"Oh, just this once then," said Crab.
"Right, are you ready?" Jaguar, Jaguar's eyes pop out over the sea, sail back. And so Jaguar's eyes went out over the sea and became magical. And he saw things he'd never thought of, things he'd never seen in his whole life. And then quickly Crab said, "Jaguar's eyes, sail back, sail back." And that's exactly what they did. "Oh, can I do it one more time?" said Jaguar. "No, once is enough. You never know where that Unkalunka is." But Jaguar went on and on until Little Crab said, "All right, only one more time." Jaguar's eyes sail out over the sea. Jaguar's eyes sail right out. And they went right out, further than they'd ever been before. These magical eyes of the jaguars became so excited. Jaguar couldn't believe what he saw. But suddenly, the Unkalunka came and went, snap! And Jaguar, all he could see was blackness. Jaguar called, little crab, everything's gone black. Bring them back, bring them back." But it was too late. Crab tried, he hurried, he tried and tried and tried, but the eyes wouldn't come back. And he was so frightened of the jaguar that he crawled under a large rock and he wouldn't come out. Jaguar just sat in the darkness. Then suddenly a large bird flew out of the sky. "Jaguar, why are you sitting by the sea?" "Oh, I've lost my eyes," said the jaguar. "Lost your eyes? If I get them back for you, what will you give me?" So Jaguar said, "Whenever I go hunting, I'll always leave food for you." So the large bird, called a vulture, flew away and came back with some large blueberries. He attached them to the jaguar, and suddenly he could see again. "I can see, I can see. Thank you, vulture. I will keep my promise and always leave food for you." The crab saw all what was happening, but was too frightened to ever come out behind those rocks again. And so Crab just has ordinary eyes that stick out from his head. And have you ever wondered why he hides under rocks? I think it's not because of the Unkalunka, but maybe he's worried other animals like Jaguar might find him. And so Crab never saw the beauty of the oceans ever again. And Vulture always did get food left by Jaguar. Thank you for listening to Pick a Tale today. Welcome to Pick a Tale. This story comes from a wonderful little collection that I wrote some time ago for a young person called Thomas. Thomas was biking along. He had collected all the newspapers from the dairy and was putting them in people's letterboxes. Thomas was very good at his job and very fast. He would whiz down one road and up a hill, round the corner, whiz back down again. He loved to deliver the mail and also the papers. Sometimes boxes said junk mail not required, but he knew the newspapers were okay, because people really wanted to read what was happening. In the newspaper he was delivering on one particular day, it said, "Headline news, bushfires in Australia." Now, Thomas hadn't been going very far when suddenly he had to put on his brakes as fast as he could. Eek! He nearly fell off his bike, for there in front of him was a tiny, tiny baby possum. How unusual, he thought, in the middle of the day. He looked around and could see across the other side of the road that maybe there was a squashed possum, and this little baby had come across the road and landed on the pavement. Poor little thing, said Thomas, picked him up and put him inside the bag with the newspapers. Once he'd finished delivering, he went home and found a shoebox, put some nice, tiny, dry sawdust in it that he had seen in his father's woodshed, and then he gave the possum some tiny droplets of milk from a tiny little cup that he knew his mother kept for emergencies. Then he knew that possums needed to keep warm, so he put the wonderful little tiny possum that was inside the shoebox, he put the shoebox inside the airing cupboard by the heater. Each day, before delivering his papers, Thomas would give the little tiny possum some milk. Gradually it grew, and almost too big for the shoebox. Now, up to now, Thomas had kept it a secret, until his mother, wondering what the shoebox was doing in the airing cupboard, took it out, and to her surprise, oh my goodness me, Thomas, what's going on? Well, Thomas explained how the little possum had come about and how he couldn't possibly let it go without caring for it. Well, you'll just have to pop it back in there and keep it safe because we're off to the airport to meet your aunt. She's coming from New South Wales. In fact, she's coming from Sydney. Oh, said Thomas. They got to the airport, parked the car, waited, and there was his aunt coming through with her suitcase, waving away. Hello, Thomas. Hello, Peggy. Lovely to be here. We've had terrible bushfires, you know, in where we are, so I'm really glad to be here. Thomas was very happy to see his aunt, and he couldn't wait to show her the possum. Oh, my goodness me, said Thomas. Do you know possums are very rare in Australia? People are always looking after them, and in the bushfires, a lot of them might have gone. Said Thomas. They had a wonderful week with Auntie, and then Thomas had an idea. I know, maybe I should send this possum to Australia. It could be looked after and fill up a big gap where other possums might have gone. So Thomas put possum inside his bag, got inside the car, and they went off to the airport. It was a bit tricky. He was determined to put possum in Auntie Jenny's bag, but of course she had sent it through very quickly. Oh dear, this isn't going to work out very well, said Thomas to himself. And then he saw two airliners hostesses talking. He knew they were from Australia because they had special kangaroo badges on. They were chatting and laughing. And then, when they weren't looking up at the board, Thomas had an idea. He sneaked little possum, which he had by this time called Squash, tucked Squash in his pocket, went up, and when the airline lady wasn't looking, he squashed actual squash possum into the bag. And then he looked away, and then he saw the ladies take off, going through the customs towards the aeroplane, which was where Auntie was on to go to Sydney. Oh, that'll be a good deed done today, then, he said to himself, not understanding at all that there were all sorts of regulations about animals leaving the country. Well, Thomas was very happy with himself and thought nothing else about it, until his mother got a call from Auntie. Our plane was delayed, would you believe? In fact, we all had to get off, and our luggage was all searched, because someone had somehow put a possum in the airline hostess's suitcase. Thomas, have you still got your possum called Squash? Thomas didn't know what to say. He looked a bit sheepish, and his mother said, I think he let it go because it's not in the airing cupboard anymore and it's not in the shed. I think it's gone, long gone, hasn't it, Thomas? Thomas didn't say anything. Oh, well. Anyway, I think they're going to sort it all out. Of course, the poor little thing couldn't leave the country, so it went into a special place called quarantine, and they're going to work out whether to send it to the zoo, keep it here, or take it there. Possums are very special in Australia, so you never know, it might actually get there. Thomas really hoped so. Time went by, and then soon, when it became quite the thing to go out in the nice woolly hat, it was winter time, Thomas was on his bike, and there, delivering the newspapers again, the bushfires had all gone. But there was a headline news. Out of the blue, a possum had been found and taken into quarantine. An Australian government had decided to give it a special pass, and it was going to go to Sydney to replace some of the possums that had been lost in the bushfires. What an unusual story, said the newspaper reporter. And Thomas smiled and grinned. He was happy that his little squash possum was going to have a new home and be well looked after. And he didn't tell anyone. And I don't think I'm going to tell anyone either. So maybe this little story about Squash the possum could be kept a secret. Who knows? Thank you for listening to Pick a Tale today.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.